Continuing on in this series, Encounters with Jesus, someone asked me, well, how long is this series going to go on? It could go on for a long time, we'll see. But I want to invite you today to open your Bibles to Mark chapter 5. As I said at the beginning of this series, we weren't going to be exclusively in the book of Luke, though we have been thus far. We would be looking at various stories in the gospel of encounters that people had with Jesus. You're going to find the text, if you want to use your Pew Bible, on page 1560 in a lesson I'm calling The Touch. Okay? So Mark chapter 5. I'll begin reading in verse 24. Jesus is actually on his way, I've got to tell you, he's on his way to heal a man's daughter. We're going to look at that lesson next week when he's interrupted here. It says a large crowd was following and pressing around Jesus in verse 24. And a woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around the crowd and he said, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding against you, the disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Imagine the scene. Jesus is making his way through the crowds on this mission. He's going with determination. He's going with purpose. And all these people are following, and they're crowding around him so much so that they're pressing against him from all sides, and yet one person in that crowd touches him in a special, unique way. The disciples didn't notice it, but Jesus did. Now, the woman's touch, something about it, felt different. For Jesus knew, it says there, that power had gone out from him. Now, this is not the only time we find this phrase associated with Jesus' power to heal. In Luke 19, it says all the people were trying to touch him. For power was coming from him, healing them all. So this is an unusual thing that power went out from Jesus to heal, but her touch is special and significant in the crowd. Most, if not all of us, I believe, could say we've had times when we felt drained. Have you ever had times like that? I've had the wind knocked out of me before. I felt my strength waning after a heavy workout. But this is different. It's not as if energy was depleting in Jesus. There's no indication that healing multitudes, let alone one person, ever threatened to empty him of his power. It's more like power was flowing through him, just flowing through him. And he's aware of that. He knows that. He's always full of power, but there's power flowing through now. There's power going out, there's power coming in. Something or someone had tapped into the source. And he knew it. The difference in this woman's contact, though, was not a physical one. He would have never noticed. It was just a physical touch. No, this touch is unique. It's special for another reason. Well, what makes her touch so special? Well, let's consider the touch. First of all, this woman's touch came out of a desperate need. How do I know that? The passage tells us that. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and spent all she had. She'd exhausted all of her resources. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Does that sound desperate to you? The text says she'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She was hemorrhaging. She was anemic. She was weak. She was sick. She was tired, and I'm sure she was sick and tired. Perhaps it was some sort of leukemia, but most scholars suggest that she had what we men refer to as female problems. It's the best we know. She had female problems. Leviticus 15 uses the exact same words to talk about women who have their normal, regular, routine, subject to bleeding. Okay, but it says of that, using the same words, says that she would be, during that time, treated much like the leper we looked at last week. That during that time, she was not to be in association with other people. She was supposed to be distanced from. She was considered unclean. But unlike a leper, she didn't have a colony of other people like her necessarily to hang with during that time. No one else maybe to have a shoulder even to offer her to cry on. She would have been isolated and alone. Now, that's one thing for it to be a short time, even if it's a routine thing, but 12 years? During this time, everything and everyone she touched would also be considered contaminated. And as with the leper, she would be restricted from the amount of intimacy she could have with God's people and in worship. She was desperate. 12 years. Let that sink in. 12 years. And it's not like she hadn't sought help, but no one could help. She'd spent everything, her livelihood, everything had been spent, exhausted, upon trying to get help. Now, the doctors may not have given up on her if she hadn't run out of resources. I don't know everything that was tried. I'm relatively sure that they had their treatments and their medications and their medicines and their ideas about what could be done, their remedies that were legitimate, and they tried all those. No success. I'm sure they tried other things, extreme measures, to do things no one had ever done before. And I'm sure there were a few people who came along and said, you know what, I've got this new remedy, this new thing, you know, and a new idea. And really, they were just trying to line their pockets and make money or profit off of her condition. Praise God, again, there's no people today who would ever do such things. We know there are. She was physically, emotionally, and financially drained. Desperate need. Desperate need. This woman's touch also came out of desperate faith. Remember what she thought? If I can just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. She believed. And I'm telling you, she believed big. To think that just touching his clothes, just touching his clothes would make a difference. That he had such power within him, just touching something that touched him would make a difference. Oh my goodness. Where did that faith come from? Where did she get such an idea? Our text says she heard about Jesus. she heard about. She hadn't seen him do anything. But she'd heard about what he could do. Romans 10:17 says, faith can indeed come by hearing. Just hearing. You know, you can come to believe in God and never hear about Jesus. Creation itself cries out that God exists, that He's real, that He's mighty, He's awesome, He's powerful. But she heard about Jesus. You would never hear about Jesus unless somebody told you about Jesus. There are a lot of people who believe in a higher power, but they've never heard about Jesus. She heard, and she believed. She heard, and she believed. And when you come to realize that whomever you've trusted in to cure you of whatever ails you, and they failed you, you've got just a couple of choices before you. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You either give up and just live with what you've got until you die with what you've got, or you give everything you've got, every bit of energy, every bit of strength, every bit of faith you've got in someone else, something else other than what you've been trusting in. Amen? Those are the choices. Live with it till you die. Put your trust, your faith, somewhere else. She did the latter. She did the latter. But it's more than her just saying, well, you know, as a last-ditch effort, you know, as because there's nothing else I can do. No, again, she came to that conclusion about touching his clothes because she heard about it. See, she had this condition for how long? 12 years. How long had Jesus been ministering since his public ministry began? Probably not even a year yet. She'd been suffering. She'd exhausted everything before he ever came on the scene. It's not like she said, you know, well, I'll give Jesus a try now, I guess. It's the idea that she heard about him, and when she heard about him, she responded to him. We sometimes know that he's here, but we exhaust everything else before we go to him, even knowing he's already here. And we've heard about him, but we go to him dead last instead of first. If she had reservations about Jesus' ability to help her, it's not evident, is it? Matter of fact, her faith trumped all that. This is not some hypothetical hope. This is not some superficial supposition. She believes so strongly in Jesus' power that she concluded that touching just the edge of that garment would be enough. She truly believes he can do what no one else could do. Have you ever seen that kind of faith in your lifetime? I have. I have seen that. But as I say so often, I see it after someone's exhausted everything else. And when that desperation comes and the faith increases, they say, you know, I've got to believe. I've got to trust. Someone at the end of the rope is there because everything they've tried has left them hanging. And then they go to the one they should have gone to at the first, saying, help me, Jesus. I don't know what else to do. I don't know who else to turn to. So now I'm coming to you. Now, as those who've already heard about Jesus, that shouldn't be the way it is. And it really wasn't that way for her either. Because when she heard, what'd she do? She came. She came. This woman's touch, see, was a result also of desperate measures. She did make some desperate measures. Didn't she? Think about, again, her condition and what she did. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. Easy thing to do, right? No. I want you to imagine, again, that scene. She's got to be fighting through the crowd to get to Jesus. Luke's account of this says that people were crushing up against him. You ever been to a rock concert? Come on. Anybody ever go to a rock concert? Well, maybe it was a country western concert for you. I don't know. But you went to a concert, and there was a celebrity there. There was a star there. And you know, people are crowding up to the stage, crowding up to get there. Or when they come down, if they're taking autographs, people crowd all around them. And maybe you've wanted to get one, and you know what it's like to try to get through that crowd, to try to push through that crowd. And, you know, man, and so you just, oh, well, what's the point? What, it's not worth it. I will do it. Or someone think, man, you know, I'll do it no matter what. I'm going to push through that crowd. It takes some desperation. It takes some desperate measure. It takes some determination to do that. Most artist representations of this event depict her as crawling to Jesus. Why? Maybe it's because the King James Version says that she touched the hem of his garment. Don't say edge, it's just the hem. Maybe that's why. Because where's the hem? At the bottom. If that's true, again, imagine that. That this woman, in her condition, in her situation, crawling to him, exhausting herself, trying to push through to get close to him, and then dropping down because she has no energy left, no strength left, pushing with every bit of faith she has forward in that crowd, trying to slip between the legs of other people just to touch the hem of the garment. Oh man, that's desperate, isn't it? Or maybe she didn't press through the crowd. It says she came in behind him. But maybe she saw the crowd coming her way and dropped to the ground then. Waited till he passed by at just the right moment, lunging out to touch the hem of the garment. Either way, desperate measures. Result? Her touch resulted in complete healing. Right? Complete, total healing. The scripture says immediately her bleeding stopped. And she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Jesus felt power flow out. She undoubtedly felt power flow in. She knew what had happened. She knew it. It wasn't like, you know, I feel a little different. Maybe I'll go see another doctor and see what they say, see how my condition... No, she knew it. Right? She knew it. This isn't like so much of the healing we witness today or we hear about. There was no lengthy series of radiation or chemo that tends to sap the life out of you, taking you right to death's door, trying to kill the disease within you. This doesn't take extensive surgery that guts you like a fish and requires weeks of recovery. Now, don't misunderstand me. I am thankful for the hospitals, for the doctors, for the surgeons, for the medications, for the remedies that God has blessed us to have. Aren't you? I am thankful we live in a world where we have those resources available to us. I believe there are blessings, but I wouldn't advise you to put your faith in any of them. Because you know what? There are a whole lot of people who don't have access to those things. And if things continue the way they are, I'm not a prophet or a son of a prophet, but I predict that a lot of the things that are available to you today will not be available to you in the future. Because you won't be able to afford it. You'll exhaust all your resources. Everything you've got, and you still won't be healed. You still won't be cured. Now, some people may be able to get more treatment, more remedy, more care, but the average person will not. I hope I'm wrong, but I believe I'm right about this. Don't put your faith in that stuff anyway. put your faith and your trust in the great physician. To bless whatever he's blessed you with. To do that. Or to work totally independently of them. Can he? The Lord's been speaking to my heart this morning, and one of the things I was talking with Nina about earlier in the week is that when I was a young Christian, the church that I attended very rarely, if ever, spent time in the gospel accounts. And we weren't real sure why that was, but I kind of concluded that one of the reasons was they didn't want to deal with the healing passages. Because you cannot go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John without coming to the point where Jesus is healing people. You can't. There are those who say, well, yeah, but that was then, but not now. Well, and I think sometimes we have been people who flocked around Jesus and we've stood between people who need Jesus so desperately that we're the crowd they're trying to fight through to get to Jesus. How sad that would be. We need to be parting the way and say, come to Jesus. There's healing there. There's hope there. There's new life there. Don't we? And maybe, just maybe, if some of us press forward in desperate faith, we'd see more miracles in our own lives than what we see. I thought about renaming this lesson last night as I was working. I said, well, I'm going to have to rename it now, the Desperate Touch. Because we talked about what? Desperate need, you know, desperate faith, desperate measures. And we're not desperate enough. Tom Lamb handed me this just before the choir sang. He said, this is not from somebody in our church. Some lady just came in and gave us a prayer request. And left, I guess. There's a car accident, just walking, that's all it says. And you know what my first thought was? I'll put it in the bulletin. Maybe that was a desperate woman. It was a desperate need. And a desperate faith. Let's get out of the way and pray right now. What do you say? Father God. Thank you. Thank you, knowing that we can approach you. We can approach you, and we can come to you with our desperate needs. We can come with faith, Father, and we can come to you knowing that all we have to do is touch the hem of the garment. It's no big thing for you. The power that Jesus has today is just as great and marvelous as it was when he walked the earth. I believe that. God, for this woman, this unnamed woman, this woman's a stranger to us that you know, who came today asking for prayers for people involved in that. God, I don't know how bad it is. I don't know how desperate there is. But God, I pray, I ask you to intervene. Do what needs to be done, that you'll be glorified. And the people will know. They'll know. They'll know. The power came from you. In Jesus' name. Jesus asked, who touched me? Disciples think, that's a stupid question. Did Jesus ever ask a stupid question? No. But they think, what kind of question is that? Everybody pressing around you? Everybody's touching you. What do you mean? Who touched you? But again, he felt the power going. He felt it flow. Jesus, evidently, and I believe that maybe he had more, at least when he looked around, he didn't know who touched him at first, but when he looked around, then he probably did realize who it was. I don't know for sure. But I don't really think he's asking for his knowledge who touched him. So much as he wants the crowd to know who touched him. That he didn't want her to slip away without giving her testimony though she came, because that's what he said, right? Who touched me? And then, though she comes trembling, she came, and what did she do? She told the whole truth. That's what it says. She told the whole truth about the story. She gave her testimony. Right there in the crowd. Right there in the crowd, she told people what her condition had been, how she'd come there, and what Jesus did for her when she just touched the hem of his garment. She told. It's only after that that he releases her with these words, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering." I've got a question for you. Have you made contact with Jesus? Have you? Have you made contact with Jesus? Has he healed you? Has he helped you? Has he brought power into your life? Has he changed you in any way? Has he changed your circumstance? Has he forgiven you? Has he shown mercy and grace to you? Has he done that? Well, here's the next question. Then why haven't you told somebody? Because you should, right? Tell somebody. Tell somebody. If you've been rescued, restored, tell somebody. Forgiven, empowered, tell somebody. Don't slip in. Take what you can get and slip away. Without giving Jesus so much as a nod? Far too many have done that, you know? I was thinking again this morning. Bob, on the pastoral prayer, you pointed to the prayer list just so often, would you? Do you have even a clue how many are not on the prayer list anymore? Not because they've gotten worse and died, because they've been healed. Because they're doing great. Because they're doing wonderful. Because God answered the prayers. Do you have any idea? A lot more than you think. A lot more than we probably report about. We need to have more PTLs there, because there are more PTLs. There are more praise the Lords than we often hear about or share. We need to be praising the Lord for what He's done in our lives. And there's not a single one of us who doesn't have a story we could tell. Not a one of us. You might think, well, I don't have a story like hers. Oh, yes, you do. You have a story that when you reached out and you touched Jesus in faith, He made a difference in your life, and it was so important to you. You were so desperate at that time. And when He answered that, you were so happy, so pleased, so overjoyed. But maybe you've forgotten that over time. Maybe you let that drift away. Maybe it happened and you didn't tell anybody. But you know what? It's not too late to tell your story. Not too late. And I believe Jesus would tell us, hey, tell the crowd who touched me. If you haven't gotten in touch with Him yet, can I encourage you to do that today? To reach out in faith today? Because I believe with all of my heart, and I pray that you do too, that Jesus is passing by. And though there may be a crowd around Him, He's not too busy, not too preoccupied, not too sapped of power to be able to bless you and make a difference in your life. So reach out. Reach out in faith today. And then tell somebody. We're going to sing, "Jesus, Take All of Me." Ask you to stand for that. I think it's interesting in the story that the woman didn't say a word until after Jesus did His work in her life, till that power went out. So I'm going to encourage you. I'm not asking you to come up front today. If you need healing, if you need help, if you need strength, if you need power, reach out in prayer in your heart of hearts as we sing the song and say, "Jesus, take me. Make me well. Make me whole. Give me power. Give me strength. Cleanse me. Save me." I believe He can answer that prayer. And that power can come. tell the crowd what Jesus did in your life. Believe it and receive it. Let's sing this together.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, all my doubts, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Jesus, take all of me, I run to you. As I am, thy love unknown has brought.